You're listening to Gerald Fleury and the Key of David on 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm.
Greetings, everyone. Vladimir Putin is the present ruler of Russia, and he said the greatest tragedy of the 20th century was the destruction of the Soviet Empire. Now, most of us would think just the opposite, I think, but he recently regained one of those states, the state of Georgia, by going in and conquering them and making, well, bringing them into the Russian orbit. So he thinks differently than many of the other leaders that have been in Russia, at least in very recent times. But he's interested in restoring the glory of Russia. And of course, he's discovering all kinds of oil, and that's brought that whole Republic of Russia back into play and back as a great world power. They already have many nuclear bombs, and so that has made Russia and Vladimir Putin certainly one of the most feared leaders and nations in this world. He's already caused the U.S. quite a lot of trouble, and he's now very much involved in the volatile Middle East. He has helped Syria retain power, the Syrian leader retain power, and he's also sponsoring Iran and getting a nuclear bomb, even though they are the world's number one terrorist sponsoring nation. So he's doing a lot of things that are very bad for this world, and certainly concern a lot of leaders and a lot of people. That man, Vladimir Putin, could become the leader of the largest army ever assembled on this earth. The Bible and Bible prophecy has a great deal to say about that. Now, they are going to be raised up, and they are, in time, going to destroy a great European army and a lot more. And there is a purpose being worked out in all of this. There was a recent Russian leader by the name of Nikita Khrushchev who said to America, "We will bury you." But I want to show you today how the great army of Russia and China and other nations are going to be buried in a place and in a time where they can't even imagine it, nor could anybody else in the world. But when is that going to happen, and where is it going to happen? Well, they're not even going to be buried in their own land. They're going to be buried in a strange land, the way they would view it in many ways, and they're going to be buried by a power and a might that would, shock the imagination of most people. They would find it impossible to believe, but it's going to happen that way. Now, Vladimir Putin could very well become the leader of a 200 million soldier army, talked about in Revelation 9 and verse 16, because that great army is going to be led by Russia. Now, why do I say that? Well, because that's what Bible prophecy says. This great conglomerate is going to be led by the Russians and perhaps by Vladimir Putin himself. He is a man, I think, that is ideally qualified for such a job, and I think we need to watch him and watch what's happening in Russia, because many people are getting very fearful of Vladimir Putin because he is a dictator over the Russian people and a strong military. And he's a very aggressive man wanting to restore the power of the Soviet Union and, frankly, conquer the whole world. That's the way he's thinking. And you can pretty easily determine that by what he does. Notice Ezekiel 38, verses 1 and 2. And the word of the Eternal came unto me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog. That's Russia. We'll see in a moment. The land of Magog, which includes China. But again, it's talking about Russia. And the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him. Now it talks like you were discussing a chief prince. And say this against him. Now, that seems to bring a personality into play. At least it would indicate that. So who could that personality be? Well, here's what we wrote in one of our messages recently. The marginal correction, as in the Moffat and other translation, has it, quote, the prince of Rosh and Meshech and Tubal. This is identified as Russia. The Rosh is under modern English spelling simply Russia. Meshech in modern English spelling is Moscow. Tubal in modern English spelling is Tobolsk, the Asian capital of Russia. Now, many Bible students will tell you and believe that Gog is Russia. So in the context certainly does show us that. And Russia is the leading nation here. And God says this is for the latter days, even in the context of Ezekiel 38. Now, we need to understand this. Not many people even talk about it or think about it, but this is a massive army that is going to do great destruction in this world according to Bible prophecy. And we need to understand about Gog and who Gog is, and that Gog is going, or Russia is going to lead the largest army ever assembled on this earth, or ever will be assembled in the age of man ruling man. Now, could the leader of that great military might be Vladimir Putin? Could he be that prince of Rosh or Russia? God says, prophesy against him. It seems to be talking about a definite personality. Notice verse 2, we'll read that again and a couple other verses for you in Ezekiel 38. Son of man, set your face against Gog, the hand of Magog, or in the land of Magog, sorry, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him and say, thus says the Eternal God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. Repeating that again. And verse 4, and I will turn you back and put hooks into your jaws, and I will bring you forth, and all your army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Put, it should read, rather than Libya, Foot or Put, however you want to pronounce that, with them all, of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarmah, of the north quarters, and all his bands, and many people with you. In other words, it's going to be Russia and China and a lot of other people that are several other nations that are going to be with them. Then verse 8, it talks about in the latter years you shall come into the land. In the latter years. So God is telling us that it's this great 200 million soldiers army is going to be allied with other nations, probably Japan and India, and have all of the mechanized warfare of this modern age. And you can see that as we go through here. I mean, 200 million soldiers? Well, actually, they say that China could establish with all of their potential soldiers could have an army of 314 million themselves. But notice verse 14. It says there, prophesy and say unto Gog. And then on down in verse 15, it says, and you shall come from your place out of the north parts, and many people with you, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. And then it talks again about in the latter day there in verse 16. And I will bring you against my land that the heathen may know me, O Gog. He's going on to say he's going to make the heathen know him. How is God going to do that? Well, notice verse 23, I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Eternal. They're going to know. See, Russia has supplied many of the military armaments for China and helped them develop the bomb and has been allied with them, loosely at least, for many years. And they're going to be allied again, only this time in a massive army that's going to do destruction on this earth like it's never ever seen before. That is according to Bible prophecy. Now, can we believe God? And if you want to check with the Europeans and the European leaders, you ask them how nervous it makes them about Vladimir Putin being a dictator all over all that power and his nation adjoins Europe in the western end of Russia. So there is a scripture over in Daniel 11, verse 41, where it talks about tidings out of the east troubles him after the Holy Roman Empire has conquered Iran and almost all of the whole Middle East. Then that really kicks this massive army into gear. And something's going on that troubles them about what's happening in the north and the east, or where Russia and China are. You can read that in Daniel 11 in verses 40 and 41. Jane's intelligence firm wrote that about with all the oil and the power now that this all amounts to nothing less than the birth of the Second Russian Republic. And when Russia changes direction like that, they go on to say that it makes Europe very nervous. Well, they've had a history there, and we've been in World War II, of what the Russians will do, and it does make them nervous. But notice Joel 2 and verse 1. I want to show you more about this army, and of all things, it's actually called God's army. Now, you ought to think about that, because who is really orchestrating all of this? Who is really behind it as far as the overall picture is concerned? Is it Vladimir Putin? No, it isn't. Notice what Joel 2 and verse 1 says. Great events are unfolding on the world scene here. Blow you the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord comes, for it is near at hand. And so the alarm and the warning has to go out. And God's very elect have to warn the world for God because of this terrible, terrible future. And Gog and his allies are a great part of that, or a tremendous part of that whole fulfillment. And there's no time to lose, God says. We need to be concerned, as the Anchor Bible says, about every inhabitant on earth. That's what it's talking about. Notice verse 2, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and a thick darkness as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There has not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. This is Gog and their allies and the worst ever world catastrophe. So God is sending a great people, he says. In other words, it's his army of destroyers. God is behind all this. That is, he's directing his plan inside of what's happening in this world. But do you think Vladimir Putin might become the supreme leader of this Joel 2 army of God's? Well, there are a lot of indications that he will. And notice what is going to happen in verse 3. A fire devours before them. What kind of a fire? A nuclear fire. and behind them a flame burns, and the land is as the Garden of Eden. Listen to this. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. Not even a blade of grass is going to escape them. What is this talking about? Why, it's talking about a nuclear attack. Russia has all kinds of nuclear bombs. So does China. And so do other of their allies have them. India, Pakistan will probably be allied with them. Certainly India. But here, look, there's just a Garden of Eden before them, and after they've passed over it, there's nothing but a dark wilderness and not even a blade of grass left alive. Can you imagine such a thing happening on this earth? Well, if you look around and see what we're doing, you would expect that to happen. Look what this world is doing and where they're going and how fast they are proliferating nuclear weapons. And it says in verse 4 through 6, all faces shall gather blackness. This is a bad time. Verse 10, the earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. This is a nuclear winter. You can't even see the stars because of that nuclear winter that you may have read a lot about or studied. But this is God's army, and it's led by whom? Could it be Vladimir Putin, that Prince of Tosh, that we're told to prophesy against him? A man, really. I think it is, certainly he has the right credentials for that job. Notice what he says and does. Verse 12, therefore also now says the Eternal, turn you even to me with all your heart and with fasting and with weeping and mourning. That's God's message to us. He wants us to turn to Him. That's what this is all about, is getting the people of the world to turn to God. Can you believe that? God is a God of love. Notice verse 13. It says He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repents him of evil. So here is this merciful, kind, gracious God wanting us to turn to Him because of what we're doing to ourselves. And He lets us go because, well, we chose to do this. And God says, all right, you go ahead and I'll let you see you cannot rule yourself. And then it says, verse 14, who knows if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. So how do you know but what God will do for you? If you turn and turn to him, he'll pour out all kinds of blessings on you. That's what he says, whether it's an individual or a collective body. Verse 15, blow the trumpet in Zion, satisfy a fast, call a solemn assembly. Make some noise and tell the people what God prophesies to us. How often from any religious body do you hear such a message as this? How often? Well, I don't hear it. And yet God says, prophesy against him in the latter days, because this is going to be cataclysmic, like nothing this earth has ever experienced. See, he's going to move in there and destroy most of all of Europe and a lot of other places. And then, in verse 20, it says, but I will remove far off from you the northern army, that is the king of the north. And they actually are raised up to destroy this European power, at least most of its power. And what is going to happen? God says, well, you can read the rest of that, and I'll just save a little time here for a few more scriptures, but Gog is leading it, but it's God's army. It's achieving His overall plan. God makes sure He's orchestrating this so that there will be flesh saved alive. And there wouldn't be if God didn't orchestrate His plan. and begin to teach man what the problem is here. But look, after the King of the North, or the Holy Roman Empire of Europe, gets control of the Middle East, they're going to really kick things into gear, and you're going to see just the most awesome army ever assembled, or the biggest one ever that ever will be assembled on this earth. God raised up Gog to do a work for him, even though he has correction for Gog, and I'm going to show you, and you're going to just be amazed at what God is going to do to Gog and how this is all going to end. I wonder if you can really believe what God is going to do. In Ezekiel 39, in verse 1, it says, "Therefore, you son of man, prophesy against Gog. Prophesy against him, O Gog, prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal." It just repeats those words that we read in verse 1 of chapter 38. So, and then it says in verses 3 through 6 that only 1/6 of them are going to be left. Of all those, well, China has 1 billion people by itself. All those people, 1/6 of them are going to be left. And even those won't make it all the way to the end. But notice verse 11, "And it shall come to pass in that day that I will give unto Gog," that is the Russia and China and their allies, "a place there of graves in Israel," that is where ancient Israel was, around Jerusalem, and a specific area where they're going to be buried. All of those 200 million men army, at least about that, because some of them are already been killed, but they've probably been replenished. They have a lot of personnel in Russia and China and India and so on. "But a place there of graves in Israel, the Valley of the Passengers, on the east of the sea." Well, where is that? The east of the sea. Well, that's east of the Dead Sea. Now, Khrushchev, a former leader of the Soviet Union, said, "Well, we're going to bury you." But I'm telling you, it says here in this scripture, God says he's going to bury that 200 million man army east of the Dead Sea and give new meaning to the Dead Sea. That's exactly what God says. And he says it's going to take them 7 months just to bury all those bodies. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? And why is it God lets that go on like that? Because this is the only way he can get the heathen to know God. You can see in these verses, that's what he says. They get to know me. That's what it takes to get through to those people, the heathen, and all of those in rebellion against God. And everybody today, it seems like, is acting like a heathen, right? Well, they're certainly not obeying God, are they? Verse 11, "And it shall come to pass in that day," I'll read some of this again, "that I will give unto Gog," this is in that day, in this end time, "I will give unto Gog a place there of graves in Israel." Now, this is actually after Christ has returned. And a great part of that army that fought Christ when he returned, in Armageddon, or which led up to Jerusalem, they still had a big army, and God, then Christ began to bless the area around Jerusalem, all around there, but he let Gog and Magog still go their own way and keep their military armaments. But then later on, after they see all that wealth in Jerusalem, they decide they want that, so God leads them up there and says, "This is where I'm going to bury your army, your huge, massive army, east of the Dead Sea." So it'll take 7 months to clean all of that mess up and bury the bodies. And what an unbelievable spectacle that is. Why can't we, seeing all this build and develop today, as God prophesied through Ezekiel about 2,500 years ago, when nobody could even conceive of such a thing as this, and all these nuclear bombs and weapons that just destroy everything? But God knew and told Ezekiel and gave him that understanding. But this is the last great rebellion on this earth. And believe it or not, you can look at Zechariah 14 verses 16 through 17, and God is going to begin to teach the whole world and cause them to come up to Jerusalem and keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it will be kept all over the world by these Gentile nations as well as Israel. And what an amazing time that's going to be. You need to understand that Feast of Tabernacles through our booklet on God's Holy Days. And it will show you God's master plan, and you will be inspired and moved and stirred as you could be moved and stirred by absolutely nothing else. Until next week, this is Gerald Flurry. Goodbye, friends.
Request our free booklets, Russia and China in Prophecy, and The Wonderful World Tomorrow. America's status as the world's lone superpower is rapidly fading. Other nations and groups of nations are angling to fill the void. Rising in the East is an emerging power block of tremendous potential in manpower, economic heft, and military might. Its growing presence is intensifying global competition for resources and for geopolitical influence. Where will this trend lead? You can know. Biblical Prophecy provides a remarkable, penetrating preview of Asia's future. Prophecy reveals that Russia will lead a 200 million man army. This army will be destroyed by Christ at His return. Then Christ will usher in the kingdom of God. Today's two free booklets will open your understanding to these prophecies that are to be fulfilled just ahead of us. You'll also be sent a free subscription to our news magazine, The Philadelphia Trumpet. The Trumpet will continue to give you in-depth, Bible-based analysis of today's most relevant headlines. A one-year subscription is free upon request. This month's issue features Gerald Flurry's article, The Most Shameful Phone Call in American History. Please also visit us online at thetrumpet.com for daily articles, videos, and headlines. Your free subscription to the Trumpet magazine, along with today's free booklets, are waiting for you. Please call our operators now to request today's free literature. To request the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. Again, that's 1-800-339-7629. To watch the program online, visit us at keyofdavid.com. If you would prefer to write for today's free literature, send your request to The Key of David, Post Office Box 3700, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083.